Good morning. I think it's appropriate before I really get into my sermon to just describe a little bit as to what happened yesterday at our conference meeting. I know as a church you've spent a lot of time on it, and this is kind of my perspective, so I would encourage you if you would like to talk to the others that were there. But we did vote on the pastor's resolution that they had put out, the concerned pastors. And the vote was 62% affirmed that, but the guidelines were set at 66%. So basically what it was left at, in my opinion, was that the overwhelming in the atmosphere that I got out of this, and others might have gotten different, was we understand that it's that we need to hold our leaders to a higher standard, but how do we do that appropriately was kind of the where I took, at least at my table, where the discrepancies were. How do we handle it Christ-like? So I guess really nothing was overwhelmingly accomplished, but nonetheless, some things that we do aren't always fun and exciting to do. So I really didn't enjoy my day there yesterday, but it needed done. So now we're going to get rolling on the sermon. If you have more questions, please feel free to talk or ask us individually. But I didn't want to overlook it like we were avoiding or not talking about what happened. But today's sermon is out of Romans 3, 21 through 31. And as I read down through that and began to study, it was quite clear that Paul was addressing the church there, and mainly the Jews, as to their works versus faith. And I know we've all talked and heard a lot of how our faith is what, our faith in Christ Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross is what washes us clean and gets us into heaven, not our works. But this verse, they were still struggling with this quite a while, the Jews, as to, well, I'm righteous, I do all the things prescribed in the Old Testament, so I'm good to go. And what Paul is saying here is, no, that's not it. So where I took this, I did a little different. I got to thinking, okay, work. I know I was taught as a child the value of a good hard day's work. So I backed up and I did a little study in the Bible on work. And so I'm going to read where work is first introduced in the Bible. And that is Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. To the woman, he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate the fruit from the tree which I have commanded you, you must not eat. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thistles and thorns for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you will return. Now, that is the first account of God inventing, coming up with, whatever term you want to use there, telling us that we have to work. And his original intent, though, can't be overlooked. God's original intent was for us to be in complete communion with him 24/7. Our entire day, our entire life was meant for Adam and Eve to be in the garden, to be spent with God. But as humans, we messed that up, and now we have sin in the way. And it's because of this original sin that God has basically prescribed work almost as a punishment. And I don't want you to get ingrained in your head that work is a punishment and that we should drag our heads and go that route. No, that's not what I'm getting at. But that was the original where God designed work. And I remember as a child, my mom would was very big on instilling in us that you don't work. Can anybody finish that statement for me? You don't work, you don't eat. Exactly. And I remember many evenings or complaining that I have to help set the table, because in my mom's eyes, even if we had to, even putting one fork on the table for dinner was helping so we get to eat. Now, I don't ever remember a time not getting to eat, though it was threatened many, many, many times. But it was important for her to follow what Scripture says. And you don't work, you don't. Working is valuable. I remember growing up with my father. I'll probably get yelled at if they listen to the sermon online. But I remember in my mind as a 8-9-year-old that I know as soon as we got up, we went out to the fields, helped pick, hoe, plant vegetables, all that stuff, until the sun went down to the point where we were so tired we couldn't even stand. I know that's not the case, but in my mind, that's how it was. It was very important for my family, for my parents, to instill in me the value of a good day's work. And I do think, as we look at this account in Genesis, that it's important. It's very important to work hard, to follow what God has told us in there. And it really does speak to the you don't work, you don't eat passage. But work is good. But I'm going to go a little step farther here. In everything, we can take it overboard or under. I remember there was a point in my life where I think I worked probably too much. And it did take its toll on my marriage and our family. Remember when I was teaching school, and I'd get up, leave the house about 6:30 in the morning, go teach, do what I needed to do for the day, and come home about 2, 3 o'clock, and then I had the farm. So I'd go out many, many, many nights. I wouldn't get in until 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, enough to eat dinner and go to bed. And see, in my mind, I thought I was doing what God wanted me to do. My job as a husband was to provide for my family. Still is. Still is my job to provide for the family. But I took it way overboard. Way overboard. And fortunately for me, we were able as a couple to work through it and talk. And it took time for me to realize that not every second of my life was to be spent working. See, I thought as I worked, the more I did, the more the family would appreciate it. But it turned, it worked out that the more I was gone, the more I was away from them, the farther away we grew. And I've seen so many, had a couple real good friends actually lose their marriage over something like that. And it breaks my heart to think that somebody could have stepped in and just see that work is important. But it's not everything. And as we look at the rest of Romans chapter today, we easily see that work really has nothing to do with getting us in right relation with God, with our final salvation. Washing us clean has nothing to do with what we do work-wise. But we are also going to see, that once you put your faith in Christ, that work does happen, but it's in a good way. It's in a good way. And God, He did design work, and we can't overlook that fact. But He designed it to help supply our basic needs. I'm going to read now Romans 3:21 through 31. And there is a whole lot in this passage that we could have went in many, many different directions today. But we're going to focus in on the middle part there. Well, we'll just read it and then we'll go from there. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Christ Jesus. To all who have sinned, or to all who believe, there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Well, where then is boasting? Is it excluded? Because of what law? The law that requires works? No. Because the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person must be justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Or is he not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, the Gentiles too. Since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith, do we then nullify the law by this faith? No, rather we uphold it. Now, as I said before I read that, there's a whole lot going on there. And obviously, the Jews were still struggling with this whole works versus faith thing. What is more important? You see, they had the Old Testament, and that's what they were going by. And if you pull things out and you look at the Old Testament in a certain way, you'll see that there's almost step-by-step-by-step instructions of things that they thought they needed to do to bring blessing upon them from God. And that's the route they had chosen. But what we're going to look at next week is we're going to see that actually, if you look even clear back with Father Abraham, that you can see that God's original intent all along has been faith. But they let the works get in the way so that the faith was kind of obscured and they couldn't see it. But if we go through verses 21 through 26, there's something in there that back in when Paul wrote this, that really caused quite an uproar. I mean, it was really, really, really big news. And it's in there, that term, justified freely. That was one they had trouble grasping. But verse 23 was so big that one of the commentaries I was reading actually called it scandalous. With justified freely, and in the verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Jews thought they were doing what they needed to do. They were doing nothing wrong. And then here comes Paul in telling them, no, it's not what you do, but it's why you do it. That's what Paul's getting at here. And it was so scandalous that this is believed, some commentators and Bible scholars believe that this is part of what led to Paul's eventual murder, because of this, because the Jews thought they were better than others and that it was their works and not faith. And God is saying, no, it's faith. It's our faith that matters. And Paul lumped in, you know, when he said all have sinned, he's now putting the Jews in there with liars, murderers, cheaters, thieves, tax collectors. And last week I mentioned tax collectors, so I'm going to clear something up here a little bit. Back in the Old Testament, especially in this time, tax collectors were hated. They were hated for a couple reasons. One of the reasons were they worked for the Roman government, and they represented Roman rule and oppression over the Jewish people. Another reason they were hated is that they were thieves. Most tax collectors, it's believed, collected taxes over double what they were supposed to collect. And they gave what they were supposed to the Roman government, and they pocketed the rest. They were wealthy off of doing their jobs because they were stealing. That's why they're lumped in there. Because they are. But what Paul is saying here is that we've all sinned. And the way that we are washed clean has nothing to do with what we do. Anything we do physically has nothing to do with our salvation. It has to deal with faith. And that we are righteous, not because of our faith, but because of Jesus dying on the cross, but we are righteous because we put our faith in Jesus. We've chosen to follow Christ. That's why. Now, as I prepared for this, even yesterday, I really didn't have a good way to end today's sermon. And as I've studied in the past, there's been times where I've been working on my sermon or the message, and it just gets to the point where I just have to stop. There's nothing there. I know that God hasn't provided me with what I need to next, with what I need to have. And I really don't like it when you go to pretty much get home to go to bed Saturday night, and you really don't know where God wants you to go next with this. So I was quite nervous. The drive home yesterday from Martin's Creek was kind of a long drive because we spent a lot of time. God, what do you want from this? But last night, my kids pushed me to watch a movie that I'm not a big movie goer. I don't like watching. I mean, it just takes 2 hours of your life to sit there. And I'm not good at that. Here we're back to the works thing. But anyhow, I sat there, and the movie we watched was God's Not Dead. And there was a lot going on in the movie, and it was a great movie. I watch it. But there's a young man in the movie, and I'm not going to give away the whole plot and point to it, so you can still watch it. But the young man goes off to college, and he's met with some very strong resistance to belief in God. But this young man hears this very small voice in the back of his head saying, stand up for your faith. Stand up for your faith. And this young man struggled with it, where everybody around him basically turned their back on him. But he knew God was asking him to do something. Now, the point I'm going to make here is, because of this man's faith, he was willing to do the work that still small voice inside his head, that the Spirit was asking him to do. That's the work God wants us to focus on. And this man in this movie, really, he worked very, very, very hard, many, many hours. But he did what God asked him to do, and he was rewarded for it. Now, I know that's just a movie, but I do believe God rewards us when we are faithful, when we follow, and when we listen to him. And as I finish here, please don't think that I'm saying we all need to go home and not do as much work. But we need to make sure what we're doing, all we're doing, that we're faithful to God and that we're giving him all the glory and all the praise that he deserves, because we have nothing without him. But we also need to remember, when we hear that voice inside our head saying, this is what I want you to do, this is the route I want you to take, we need to trust that voice and follow where God is leading us. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. God, we thank you for your presence this morning. And Lord, for everyone that you've prompted to participate and help this service to happen, Lord, thank you for them. And we just pray that continues, Lord, that your blessing will be upon us. And Father, we just ask, if there's areas in our life, things that we need to look at, that we need to do differently, Lord, God, we just pray that you can reveal them to us and that we can bring glory and honor to you in all we do, and that we're not looking to glorify ourselves, Lord. Father, we love you and we thank you for everything you've blessed us with. And we do thank you, God, for the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, that we can that we can be washed clean when we put our faith in Christ. In his name, amen.